Today, we start to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, the way the Holy Spirit enables us and gifts us to serve, to be a blessing, to be the church, to minister to the world and to our community. And we're going to do it in two parts. Today is kind of a foundational, the nature and purpose of the gifts, how we use them. And then next week, we're going to talk a little bit more specifically about the types of gifts and how those are used in ministry in the church. So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed, and no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And I don't know if you remember what it's like giving toys to your kids, and your kids have no idea how to appreciate them or use them properly. And I know how to appreciate toys myself, and so I take them away and use them for my own enjoyment. But I remember just, it wasn't that long ago when my oldest son was four, I gave him his first set of Lego. And he starts playing with it, and the first time we put it together, I actually put the pieces together while he read the thing. I taught him how to read, he calls them maps, the instructions, and he found the pieces for me, and we did it together. And then the second time we did it, which was much less fun, he put the pieces together while I found them and did the instructions. But slowly but surely, he was able to start doing it. But I remember early on watching his uncoordinated little fingers trying to put these Lego pieces together. And I just wanted to jump in and be like, no, only Daddy may play with Lego. You just watch Daddy. You know, but he got very good at it after not very long. But I think sometimes it's the same way with the gifts that God gives us. Is he gives us these gifts, and in so many ways, we are ill-equipped to handle them. We don't know what we're doing. We're uncoordinated. We're unable to use them. Yet still, in God's wisdom, he gives us gifts and allows us to mess up and allows us to misuse them but figure them out along the way. And so we see several places in Scripture, and 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are very key passages that give instruction to help us understand the gifts of the Spirit and to practice them and to use them properly. Because if we don't understand them, we'll misuse and abuse them on the one hand, or we'll be fearful of them and we'll just shut them down and never let them be used. And neglect is also a form of abuse. So we're looking for information to help us understand and use the gifts well. So this passage is likely in response to several questions the Corinthian church sent off to Paul. He's responding to their questions and helping them understand what's going on. And so I'm framing the notes today in questions that we might have, the contemporary church might have, about the gifts of the Spirit. Now, Paul's tone in this section of the letter is that of correction. There was one preacher who did a series on the book of 1 Corinthians. He called it Christians Gone Wild, because it was just a church that was kind of messed up. They were gifted, they were talented people, but they were just all over the place spiritually. And so Paul's trying to rein them in, give them a little bit of instruction to bring order to their gatherings, order to their ministry. And so if my tone gets a little corrective at times, I'm just kind of reflecting Paul. But at the same time, we need to be willing to be corrected in our own perspectives and practices in regard to the spiritual gifts. So first of all, basically, what is a spiritual gift? By sake of definition, we'll start here. Any ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in any ministry of the church. And that can be in a church service, that can be in an external ministry, that can be in missions, that can be just in our daily interaction with our neighbor, because each person here makes up what is the whole of Bethel Church. So gifts, spiritual gifts, are the tools that God gives us to fulfill the mission he's given the church. It's difficult to sweep a room without a broom. It's difficult to drive a nail without a hammer. It's difficult to cut a piece of wood without a saw. And without spiritual gifts, the mission of God is very difficult to do. Without the right tools in our tool belt to actually go out and serve and to serve one another, his mission and his calling on our lives is very challenging. Scriptures that list the spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 10, and verse 28, Romans 12, 6 to 8, Ephesians 4, 11, 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11, those are all listed in the gift survey. In fact, the gift survey has a short definition of each of the gifts. You can kind of read through that yourselves. There's different kinds of gifts. There's gifts that are kind of prophetic or utterance gifts where we speak them out, like tongues and prophecy. There are miraculous gifts like different kinds of miracles or healing. There's serving gifts like hospitality, administration, leadership, generosity, mercy. There's a lot of different gifts, and it's very possible that the Bible doesn't even list all of the gifts. There could be many gifts and many varieties of each gift that the Spirit distributes because each person is different. We all have a personal relationship with God, and he gifts us each uniquely. Now, many of the gifts listed are seemingly natural things: leadership, teaching, encouraging. So they become spiritual gifts when the Holy Spirit gets a hold of our natural abilities and tendencies and uses them to bring spiritual blessing. So for example, and I don't want to talk about myself all the time, but I'll just use one of my gifts as an example. One of my gifts is the gift of teaching. And I appreciate the encouragement you guys give when I preach and teach and all that, and that's fantastic. But there are many people in this world who don't know Jesus who are naturally much better teachers than I am. Way better. However, I believe the Holy Spirit takes my teaching and my obedience as I teach, and in between my mouth and your ears, he does something with it to not just get you in the ear, but to get you in the heart. And I've actually had people come to me, and whether it's the day of or months later, they say, you know, Pastor Dave, do you remember when you said this? And they, you know, share something that I supposedly said to them. And I go, wow, that's pretty awesome, but I never said that. And I just believe what happens is I just am obedient to do my best, my imperfect best, to shape words and to try to teach and to try to explain. The Holy Spirit takes a hold of my natural ability and transforms it into a supernatural power to bring spiritual blessing to you. And so sometimes we just need to ask ourselves, what am I just naturally good at? What do I love? What really gives me energy? And how can I offer that to the Holy Spirit so that he can take it and supernaturally transform it into something that will be a blessing to the people around me? So secondly, what are spiritual gifts for? 1 Corinthians 12, 7, to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. 1 Peter 4, 10, each one should use whatever gift he has to serve others. So the gifts are for service, not for self. They're for service, they're for the common good, they're for others, not for ourselves. It enables us to serve each other. They're not signs of spiritual maturity. They're not personal toys. They're not for showing off. They're not for financial gain. They are given so that everyone around us can be blessed. So each one of us has to ask ourselves, how can I be a blessing? Now, actually, is that a question you asked yourself before you got in your car to come to work, to church today? Did you ask yourself that question before you came to church today? Did you ask, God, how can I show up at church and be a blessing to somebody? Or are we always saying on our way to church, how can I go get blessed? Because it's a very different way to show up in God's community. And the amazing thing is that if we come here to be a blessing, Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. So what the scriptures actually teach us is if I shape my life and if I bring myself into situations and my whole purpose is to serve and be a blessing, it's in giving of myself that I receive the greatest blessing. When we come to take, when we come to be consumers, we actually miss out on the blessing. It's a totally upside down way that Jesus has set up his kingdom. So we need to ask ourselves before we show up in church. We need to ask ourselves before we go to work. We need to ask ourselves before we go to life group, how can I go and be a blessing, not just seek for my own blessings? So secondly, in the purpose of the spiritual gifts, the gifts are for service, not segregation. They're for service, not segregation. Paul writes in chapter 12, verse 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. So the spiritual gifts, what they do is they actually take the diversity and variety within our body, the church, and it brings us together in unity so that we can function as a whole. So some of us represent the hand of Christ or the mouth of Christ or the ear of Christ or the feet of Christ, and however way you want to interpret that. And Paul says, as we all come together with different gifts, we can unite ourselves and be interdependent upon one another so we can fully function in the way God has designed us to fulfill the mission he's given us. But sometimes we segregate ourselves, and you know, the people who are prophets only hang out with them, and people over here only hang out with there. And what was happening in Corinth is everybody showed up in church and everybody just wanted to speak in tongues the whole time. Now imagine a body that is only tongues. Nobody wants to hug that guy, right? The body needs to have variety and diversity, not just these people over here and everybody look exactly the same as one another. But sometimes we also have the temptation to say, you know, there is a need over here, but because I'm gifted in this way, I'm not going to go meet that need. And that's not how the Holy Spirit works. I think the Holy Spirit gifts us and enables us for the task before us. If you notice it, he'll gift you to do it. You know, my dad always used to say in talking about the spiritual gifts, you don't need the gift of picking up garbage in the parking lot to pick up garbage in the parking lot. Right? So you don't need to be an evangelist to tell someone about Jesus. You don't need the gift of encouragement to put your hand on someone's shoulder. You don't need the gift of generosity to open your wallet once in a while. You just need to see the opportunity and step out in faith that the Spirit will work through you. So what was going on in Corinth? Why were these Christians going wild? Verse 1 of the chapter we read, about the gifts of the Spirit, Paul says, I do not want you to be uninformed. See, the main problem is they were just uninformed. A lot of them were new Christians. A lot of them had came out of pagan religions. And some of the things that happened in some of these pagan religions at that time was there was actually tongue speaking. They really valued that. They valued these weird prophetic utterances. And so they were kind of bringing some of those old practices into the Christian church. And Paul was showing them how the way Christ does it, the way the Holy Spirit does it, is very different than in the pagan religions. So he's saying, I just want to inform you guys. I want to help you understand. Now the thing is, none of us needs to be experts. We just need a bit of information. We just need a little bit of guidance to understand how the Holy Spirit wants to work among us so we don't misuse, abuse, or ignore the gifts. So the Corinthians, what they were doing is they were misplacing priorities. They were overemphasizing the spiritual gifts, especially the ones that gave you a platform. Especially were the ones where you'd get up and you'd verbally declare something, or you'd prophesy, or you'd speak in tongues. They were believing that those were the most important and valuable, and everybody wanted those ones. And they were forgetting and neglecting love and Christian service. That's why Paul put 1 Corinthians 13 in the middle of 12 and 14. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love passage. I mean, I could speak in the tongues of men and angels, but without love, I'm just a clanging cymbal. I can give my body to the flames. I can be a martyr. I mean, how incredible is that to actually die for the sake of the gospel? But if I do it without love, it's useless. So he's saying what's most important is Christian love and Christian service. And without character, without the fruit of the Spirit, there are no gifts. Without the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts are useless and, in fact, potentially counterproductive. So Paul is trying to correct them and bring them back to a right view and a right order of things. You know, as a pastor, I have to be honest, I probably hear more people talking about wanting to see more spiritual gifts occurring than I hear people talking about wanting to see more character development happening. And so I think sometimes we today in the contemporary church also have that same issue, that we're overemphasizing spiritual gifts and underemphasizing our character, underemphasizing love, underemphasizing service to one another and to the world around us. And sometimes we look at this passage and we look at it as though this is the ideal, but Paul's actually trying to pull the Corinthians back. He's trying to say, let's have a little bit more order. Let's put some limitations on this stuff so that some of the other gifts, some of the other stuff that's important can also be expressed as you gather. I didn't hear any amens that time. All right, okay. All right. All right, let's do another one where you won't do an amen. Sometimes we actually put a value on disorder, especially in charismatic circles. Sometimes we think that if we didn't have a service plan, it would be more spiritual around here. But let me tell you, if I showed up unprepared to preach, it would not be spiritual around here. Because I'd be sweating in my seat, I wouldn't be thinking about God's Spirit, I'd be thinking about what on earth am I going to say to these people? You know, if the band doesn't practice well and spend a lot of time on details, they're going to be thinking about music notes. They're going to be thinking about chords they're playing, and they're not going to be worshiping. We want them to be free to worship so they don't have to think about the notes they're playing. If they practice, if they work hard, if they have a plan, they'll be able to be free to do that. So we constantly tinker with the service order. We're trying to fix things here and there. We want to make transitions smooth. We don't want to waste any time because we want to make space for the Holy Spirit to move. If I'm prepared, God's Spirit can move through me much easier than if I'm unprepared. And that's what Paul is saying. God is not a God of disorder, but of order. And so there needs to be order and structure in the way in which spiritual gifts are used. Oh man, it just keeps going. Okay, here's another one. Sometimes we think that if we saw more miracles happen, then that would be the key to church growth. But when I read about Jesus, so often when he did a miracle, he would actually tell the person very strongly, don't tell anybody about this. Because when they did, they would go out and tell everyone, and then huge crowds would show up, and they would ask Jesus to do parlor tricks. And they came for the miracles, not the message. They came for the signs and not the person. And yeah, miracles help. Miracles are awesome. I want to see more miracles. But Jesus wants to give us himself. The Holy Spirit wants to point us to the Savior, not just do tricks among us. You know, the testimony of the early church is not that the miracles were what grew the church. We see incredible growth in the first few centuries of the church, not because of miracles, but because there were lives that were changed, because people's character changed. They loved one another. They treated each other different. Slaves found out that they had equality in Christ. People who were in grinding poverty realized they had riches in the heavenly realms, and that changed lives. So it's the transformation of lives, of personal character, and the boldness to witness and share the gospel with others that really grows the church. And guess what miracles do? They just attest to it. They say, yes, this is true. This life truly has been changed by the power of God. That's how the church grows. So that's what's going on in Corinth. What's going on here? Let me tell you a little story about my kids, which I do because that's literally all I do all the time other than be at the church. So when Owen, our youngest, was born, Rebecca and I headed off to the hospital, and my parents came to our house to watch Reuben and Emmeline, our older two. And they were kind of hanging out with them. Owen was born when we were ready for family to show up. We called my parents, said, bring the kids. And my dad told Reuben and Emmeline, there's a surprise for you waiting at the hospital. And so they showed up, and they came in the room, and they met Owen, and these were their faces. So you can see Reuben is greatly underwhelmed. And Emmeline has just realized she's not the baby anymore. So after they had met Owen, they said to my dad, Papa, what's the surprise? And at that point, he said, do you want to go get ice cream? Yeah, let's go get ice cream. They took off. You see, they undervalued the true blessing that our family experienced because they had an expectation of a different kind of blessing. They overvalued something else just because they didn't understand. They didn't quite understand. And friends, I think there's a sense in which today's church needs some correction. Because I actually hear quite often around here people say, man, I wish we would experience the gifts of the Spirit in our church. And I always want to respond, which ones are you not seeing? Because I see them happening all the time. We can even just look in our own service today and look around us at what's happening. People today are expressing the gift of leadership, teaching, service, helps, mercy, hospitality, encouragement, administration, faith, wisdom, giving. All of that is happening right now. And so sometimes I think we look at those and think, oh, those aren't the real gifts. We want to see the real gifts. And I think what happens is we actually, in some ways, insult the Holy Spirit and his work and say, well, those are nice, but we'd want to see some other stuff. A new baby brother is great, but we really want some ice cream. So friends, I think it's important that we recognize and call out the gifts that are being expressed all the time and give the Holy Spirit some glory. And then I think what that does is it stirs up the gifts even more. And we'll continue to see even more and greater things occur. I want to just call some people out myself. Frank Consey is an administrative wizard. Can you have wizards in church if he's the closest one to being a wizard? I mean, the more I learn about what he's done before I came here and continues to do, this place would have fallen apart decades ago without Frank Consey's administrative gifts. So we just want to thank Frank. Brad Hill is a servant savant. Have you learned this about Brad? I go into difficult situations, and Brad's like the first responder. He parachuted in hours ago. Because I always hear a story, oh, Brad Hill came by and he did this for us. It's incredible. He gives, he loves, he does all kinds of incredible things for people all the time. Rosemary Cargill, when she was working here at the church, she has a prophetic gift. I don't know if she knows this or not, but I would come into her office and I would run ideas by her. And if she got all excited, I knew that it was a good idea. If she was merely nice and encouraging to me, I knew I had to work on it a little longer. Because something would just well up in her spirit and she'd get excited about it, and I just knew that the prophetic word in her was coming forth. Chris Nock, he's a wise guy. He's just so full of wisdom. I love to run as many thoughts through him as possible because he always helps me see it from different angles and make the best decision possible. Lori Gordon is a woman full of the gift of faith, if I've ever seen it. If you want to know what's going to happen, you go talk to her. If she thinks something's going to happen, it's going to happen. There are people in this room that I won't name them because you might go talk to them, but if there's people in this room who are so generous, I know if I just gave them a call and they knew there was a financial need that they'd open up their wallets immediately and joyfully. There are so many gifts expressed in this church. Call them out in each other. Point them out for each other. Celebrate them. Thank the Holy Spirit and see what he continues to do in us. Fourthly, how can I grow in my spiritual gifts? I had a conversation with Jim Lucas, who's the former president of the Canadian Pentecostal Seminary, and I just wanted to get a little information on context in the early church. What was going on at this time? And he was talking about the way the early church gatherings were modeled were likely after the early synagogues, which started during the exile. They didn't have temple worship, so each community had these little gatherings where they'd have things like singing, they'd have things like scripture reading, they'd have people give a sermon of sorts. They'd have that sort of dynamic. But they were really small communities kind of spread out all over the place. And the early church began to gather around this similar model, but it started to look a little bit different. But what it was small gatherings of people, often in homes. The church in Corinth was probably just meeting in someone's home. Even in Jerusalem, as we read in the book of Acts, we saw there were thousands of people meeting at the temple, but day after day, they met in each other's homes. And the earliest expression of the church, as it was still small, was house to house. And today, as the population of Christians has exploded into the billions, we have something that would have been really strange back then. We have hundreds of people gathering for worship services, sometimes thousands of people in many churches. So it actually makes it challenging for some of the ways in which the gifts were expressed then to be expressed in these larger gatherings. And so that's why we really believe here that life groups are one of the most important things our church is going to do moving forward. That's what we call our small group ministry, because it's one of the best places for gifts to be expressed, practiced, learned, discerned, and developed. We will always make room in our large group gathering for gifts to be expressed, of course. I'm not saying anything about that. But how much more opportunity is there in a group of 10 to 12 people to try something out? To say, I think I might have a message from God. Can you guys discern this with me? To say, I think I have just a word of knowledge that God's speaking to us. And we can try it out there. And here's the cool thing. The Holy Spirit's really smart. If he has a message that he wants somebody to share on a Sunday, he can time it for a Tuesday. And in your group, you can say, I think this is what God's saying. And then the group can discern it, which is what's biblical, and say, you know what, I think that might be for our whole church. And then I can actually give you a microphone. Because sometimes, as we've had prophecies in this church, someone who doesn't have a strong voice, sitting in the back, what did they say? It's hard to do the discernment process. And so again, I'm not saying that we're not going to make room for gifts during the service. We always will. But if you want to grow in your gifts, if you want to develop them, if you want to experience them, life groups are the first place to start. I want to encourage you, as the fall comes and we re-kick that off, to be a part of our life group ministry here at Bethel. Where am I? Praise God. Oh, I want to tell you a story about our life group. I'm coming to the end. I'm going to tell you a story about our life group. A couple weeks ago, we just prayed for one another. Our life group has several people in it. I'm not going to name names because I didn't get any permission to tell these stories. But several people in it who just don't have like a Pentecostal or charismatic background, didn't really have a lot of experience kind of in, you know, moments where the Holy Spirit was moving in ways that were kind of emotive or anything like that. But we prayed for each other and we asked God's Spirit to speak to us. And we just invited him to come. And after we prayed, we laid hands on each person. After we prayed, I just asked our group, did you sense anything? Did you hear God's voice in any way? And it was amazing to hear several people share, almost timidly at first, but share, I think the Holy Spirit was just doing this in my heart. And one instance in particular, one of the guys said, you know, while we were praying, I felt like God wanted me to say something, but I didn't say it. And so he just said it right then, and he pointed someone out in our group and started to encourage them. Say, these are the things I've noticed about you. These are the things that I appreciate about you. These are the things that I love about you. And it was really neat for me to be able to be like, you just operated in the gift of encouragement. You asked the Holy Spirit to speak, he spoke, and you obediently walked it out. Now that's tougher with 200 people, especially if it's your first time. It's very difficult if you maybe have a prophetic gift or for the first time stand up in front of 200 people and share it. But in life groups, we can grow in those gifts. We can develop them. We can nurture them, and we can discern them together and encourage one another. And we've seen it in our group, and it was a very, very special time, and we hope the Spirit continues to work. As we've kind of run out of time, but that's all right. We just want to create a little bit of space here as we just seek the Holy Spirit. Would you pray with me as the band prepares? They're gonna lead, but we're gonna give our hearts to God. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, see what he says. Thank you, Father, you've given us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, that you've poured out your Holy Spirit. You said, I will not leave you as orphans, but I will send a counselor, one to come alongside, one to lead, one to guide, one to give us power to fulfill the mission of God. Jesus, would you continue to pour your Holy Spirit out on us, that we'd be able to understand our gifts, that we'd be able to exercise them, we'd be able to live them out. Give us the tools we need to love one another, to be a blessing to the world you've put us in, to be a blessing to our city. Let people see in us the work of something so much greater than just what is natural, just what is our own ability, but it is the ability the Holy Spirit has poured out on us. God, I pray that every gift would be represented. I pray that every person would know and experience their gifts and grow in them, God, all for your glory, for the common good, for the service of one another, so that, God, this body can be encouraged, lifted up, strengthened to fulfill the mission you've given us. We just give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We give you all the honor. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name.